27 years of ministry, I've never had a deficit. I'm totally debt free. I owe nobody nothing but to love them, personally as well as ministry wise. My foreign offices, most people use a foreign office as a missions outreach. Mine brings in revenue. God is blessed. Everything I do, everything I touch prospers. I'm not being arrogant about that, just simply the truth. But there's a reason for it. It's not because of my faith. A lot of people say, well, man, just got some faith. Well, I do have faith, don't misunderstand me. But one thing I do not touch at all is fear. I won't have anything to do with fear. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. I will not have fear in my life. I don't care whether it's spiritual, physical, or financial. I will not have fear. Fear is not a part of my anatomy, spiritually, physically, or financially. Because it contaminates everything you do in life. It's the main ingredient Satan uses to destroy people's lives. I want to show you something the Lord showed us here in 1 Kings chapter 17. Then I'm going to answer that question why I haven't had a deficit. And maybe why you've had one. Not that I'm better than you. Let me show you something here. 1 Kings chapter 17 verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now this is strong words. This is Elijah talking to the king. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. He didn't say according to God's word. Now you got to be pretty strong when you say, let me tell you this. This is how it's going to happen because I said it. Now you're going to get people looking and say, who do you think you are? You cocky, arrogant fool. Well, God recorded it. He said, according to my word. Then he goes out to this brook and he's having birds bringing him food and all kinds of stuff. And there's a great famine in the land. And in verse 8, and the word of the Lord came unto him saying, arise. Now notice what God does. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. He didn't say, just go and say hello. In other words, you're going to live there for a while. You're going to dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Of all people God would use to sustain a preacher, a widow woman who's broke. You know, why wouldn't God use a rich man? Why wouldn't God use a rich woman? Let me make this a number. God ain't looking for a rich man. God got money. He got more money than you can shake a stick at. He ain't looking for a rich man. He's looking for some obedience. He's just looking for obedience. He ain't looking for a rich man. He's just looking for obedience. He got money. That's not the issue. The issue, he wants obedience. Now notice he says, I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Lord Jesus. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, now I want every woman in this church to hear this statement. Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. I've been trying to get Kathy to do that for 34 years. I said, hey, Kathy, can you go give us some water? She says, your legs broke? We believe in healing in this house. You need a miracle? I said, Kathy, it's scriptural. She said, you twisting it. I said, there it is. Look at the ladies. He asked this woman, hey, you. Hey, you. Go give us some water. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now watch this next statement, cocky preacher. As she was going to fetch it, he called her and said, hey, bring me, I pray thee, some bread in your hand. Lord Jesus, Elijah. First you see this woman, you don't know who she is. Say, hey, you, give me some water. While you're at it, bring me something to eat. Now look what this woman says. And she said, verse 12, as the Lord thy God liveth. She didn't say her God. God ain't doing too good for her. That done made her mad. As the Lord thy God liveth. I want to let you know something. I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, a little oil in a bottle. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. In other words, this is it. This is my last pancake. Look what Elijah said. Elijah said unto her, fear not. Man, here we go now. Fear tolerated, faith contaminated. Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Good Lord, Elijah. That's pushing it, boy. Bring it to me and after cook something for you and your boy. If that had been my mama, she'd have beat that preacher's brains out. Because if you're a real good mother, you're going to feed your child before you feed somebody else. That baby going to eat before you eat. But he tells her something. Fear not. Do what I tell you to do. Besides, I'm hungry. Bring it to me first, then cook something for you and your kid, if there's anything left. Oh, Lord. For thus saith the Lord, now the spirit of prophecy is coming. Things are changing now. For thus saith the Lord, no longer is Elijah talking. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the bottle of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. This was an obedient woman. And she and he and her house did eat many days. You look in your cross reference, it says about a year. And the barrel of meal didn't waste it not, neither did the bottle of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want to talk tonight about how to get this breakthrough, spiritually, physically, and financially. Three things have got to happen in your life. Number one, you have got to receive a prophetic word. I want you to listen to this for a minute. Chances are none of you going to have a prophet come to your house. Let's just be honest. Most of the time a prophet ain't coming to your house. But what people have to understand is that everything God says is true. You see, I was preaching at a Bible school not too long ago, and this person got upset. There's over 7,000 promises of God. The Lord said, they're promises to him, but they're prophecies to me. And the Lord gave me this statement. When the words fall from my lips, Jesse, they're not promises, they're prophecies. When God says something, he cannot go against his word. Psalms 89:34 says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that's going out of my lips. In other words, if you can get God to say something, it's got to come to pass. Yeah, but. Now, you need to get your butt out the way. That's your problem. That's the biggest butt you'll ever have in your life right there. Because the minute you say but, you just canceled everything you just believed or just said. And the devil says, you see, I told you they didn't believe it. You got to do something here. See, to us, they're promises. If I would walk up to someone today and say, you know what the Bible said, and Peter said, by his stripes you were healed, you say, I'm standing on that promise. But if I walk up to that same person and said, thus saith the Lord thy God, by his stripes you are healed. Now, I'm saying the same exact thing. The difference is, it's now a prophetic utterance instead of a promise. Well, to you, they may be promises, but to God, they're prophecies. When the words fall from the lips of God, promises or prophecies or prophetic utterances falling from God's lips. Now, everything God says is a prophecy. So chances are you'll never have a prophet come to your house, right? But everything God says is a prophetic utterance. Why don't you go find something he said and call that prophecy in? Now, Luke 6:38 says, give and it shall be given unto you. Is that in red? Yeah. Well, you see, that's not a promise to you. That's a prophecy. Now, what people don't seem to understand, anybody got a dollar bill? My Lord, I left my wallet somewhere. I don't know where it is. You got to give me some money. Come on. Give me a dollar. Just give me something. That's good, brother. That's fine. Praise the Lord. Eat more. What you bringing, son? This is enough right here. This is more than a thank you, though. I preach, boy. Son, that boy can run. Can he? Lord Jesus. That's what young is. Young can do that. I used to do that. Now watch this. I'm going to use this as an example. It says, give and it. Now what is it? This is it. Give and it. It. This is the it. People say, I'm giving. And God said, it shall begin to, but I'm believing God for, no. Give and it. This is the it. Give this and it this. It. This will be given back to you. Because what you sow is what you give and it shall be given. Not my. Maybe so. I don't know. It shall. That's God speaking. Now you see, how many of you want a financial breakthrough? Hold your hand up. You need help. Now watch this. Listen to me. Number one thing, you got to receive a prophetic word. Luke 6:38 is prophetic to you. Give an it. It. How many of you need some of this it? All right. This is what you got to give. Give an it. Whatever you give is the it. Did you get it? Give an it. It. It shall be given unto you. Here's your money. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, I'm trying to give you money away there, brother. I'm sorry. Give and it shall be given unto you. That's a prophetic word. Here's another prophetic word. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches and glory. Not the economy of Michigan. Not the economy of the United States. Not who's in the White House or the outhouse or whatever, any house. It's according to God. Did you see that? That's a prophetic utterance. Now, to receive a financial breakthrough, or spiritual, or health, anything, spiritual, physical, or financial, you got to have a prophetic word. You got to find out what God said concerning your request. And it's got to be more than a promise to you. It must be a prophetic utterance coming from the lips of God. I want you to listen to me. So he says, give, and it took. I received that. My God shall supply all my need. When the devil's fighting, I am more than a conqueror. That is a prophetic utterance from God. Whether I feel like it or not, that ain't got anything to do with it. Number one, you have to have the receiver prophetic word. Now, chances are a prophet may not come to your home, but the gospel is a prophetic utterance to you. Now, number two, write this down. You must have the willingness to obey what you are believing for, no matter what that is. This woman had obedience. Now, you would think, why wouldn't God send her to a rich man? Because, bless God, this lady needed a miracle. She had to have a miracle. And the only way you're going to get your miracle is when you get fear out of your life. He said, fear not. Give and it. Fear not. Just go make the pancake for me and bring it here. Now, it may sound wrong, but bless God, God's prophesying something to you. See, when he says that, he means that. The Bible says, a long life will he satisfy me. I have received that prophetic utterance three times because I've been down in three airplane crashes. Instead of saying, I'm going to die, I said, hey, get out of here. Long life will God satisfy me, and death and life's in the power of my tongue, not your tongue. Get out of here. And I'm still here. Yeah. Do you see that? But I did not receive that as a promise. I received that as a prophetic utterance, because that's God talking. See what I'm saying? Ooh, I like this. I'm going to buy my tape myself. I want you to see this for a minute. This is not a money message. This is how to help you get through so whatever you need spiritually, physically, financially will come to pass. Number one, you must have a prophetic word. Got to have it. Number two, you must be willing to obey. Obedience. It's better to obey than to what? Sacrifice. Obedience is powerful. When you obey, God blesses you. When your children obey you, you bless them, right? Yeah. Obedience is a wonderful word. It's in the marriage vows. It's in everything in life. It's a discipline. It keeps you in the right area of your life at all times, called obedience. Now, number three, write this down. If you want a financial breakthrough, if you want breakthrough, you got to have a prophetic word. And God is speaking all of them. There's over 7,000 of them in there. You must have the willingness to obey. And then you must, watch this, you must give a seed of value or significant, a seed of significance. You see, there are a lot of people tipping God. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Listen to me. If it's not valuable to you, then it's not valuable to God. Now, you can never let a preacher tell you what's valuable to you, because only you know that. You see, Jesus looked one time into an offering bucket and there was a lot of money in there, but none of that was valuable to him other than the widow's mite, which was the smallest piece of money in the whole bucket. But it was of value to her and a value to God, and recorded it in holy canon. See, when you give, I noticed Pastor when he was receiving the tithe and offering. Let me tell you something about tithing. You know why people fight it so much? Is it in the New Testament? Is it in the Old Testament? Tithing is a spiritual concept. See, the devil is not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. He can only tempt you in the flesh. He can't tempt you in the spirit. Let me give you a prime example. Have you ever been tempted to tithe? Huh? No. Have you ever go to Pastor Duane and said, I need to talk to you, man. This temptation to tithe is about to get me. No. He can't do that. He never tempts you in the spirit. He's spiritually dead. You're spiritually alive. He only tempts you in the flesh. But if you crucify your flesh daily instead of Sunday, you don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Like you hear a preacher messing up in immorality. I couldn't help myself. Lie, you fry. What makes you think your wife going to believe that? God don't believe that. Your wife ain't going to believe that neither. Why don't you just tell the truth? You see, the devil is not a faith devil. He's a flesh devil. The devil, he doesn't know anything unless you tell him. You snare by the words of your mouth. Do you understand? He doesn't deal with spiritual concepts. He can't handle that. Why does everybody fight the devil? For what? Why? He's already defeated. Say what the Lord says. The Lord rebuked thee. And go on about your business. Just go on about your business. That's what angels do. The Lord rebuked it. Then he bring a real accusation against the devil. Just shut up. Go on. Because you see, he has to obey spiritual law. And the only way he works in the church is through physical reaction. See, you cannot be, you're not tempted to tithe. You hear all these people talking. See, that's a, well, it's not in the New Testament. Lord Jesus, come on, let the elevator go to the top. See, then you're acting like a sinner. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, because they're foolishness of them, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. You're thinking God's trying to get something from you when he's trying to get something to you. He said he put you under an open wind at heaven, pull you out of a blessing you wouldn't be able to receive it or even contain it. Plus he'll rebuke the devourer for your sake, which is beyond your homiletical, hermeneutical, philosophical, theological mind. The spirit can embrace the intellect, but the intellect cannot embrace the spirit. Am I talking too fast? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, listen to me. You listen to me, a breakthrough will come for you. It will come for you. There's no other choice. Why? Because you're receiving a prophetic word. You've got the willingness to obey it, and you're given a significant seed or a seed of value. You cannot let someone tell you what's valuable to you. Only you can say what's valuable to you. Do you understand that? And a lot of times people, when they give it, they don't give things to God of value. They just want to make sure nobody thinks they didn't give that, so they'll throw a buck in the plate. Do you see my point? That's an insult to God. Because he didn't give you an angel to die for you. He gave you his only begotten son. He could have sent Gabriel, Michael. Now I'm going to tell you something about the devil. The devil's having a lot of trouble in his own camp. Have you ever noticed sometimes he don't mess with you? You ever noticed that? First, there's two reasons for that. One, sometimes he's tired. What? I called Brother Keith Moore and I told Kenneth Copeland that day. I said, y'all ain't going to have no problem with the devil tomorrow. They said, what? I said, you ain't going to have one problem at all tomorrow at all with the devil. None of you will. I beat that sucker's brains out last night. He ain't going nowhere. I'm sick. I prove it to you in scripture. Jesus beat his brains out so bad in that desert, in that wilderness, he left Jesus for a season. That's 3 months. He said, man, I got to rest myself. This Nazarene just eat my lunch. You got to understand something. The devil gets tired. And also he's putting out fires in his own camp. You see, he said something. There's a spiritual law. It works with an angel as well as it works with a man. That whatever you sow, you will reap. And he sowed this. I will exalt myself above the Most High God. I will sit in the congregation of the north. Huh, I'm going to be God. Well, you see, he's lied to every demon he has. There are demons right now rebelling against Satan. Say, he's been lying to us. Now, they can't get back to God, but I'm going to run my show the way I want to run it. He's got rebellion in his own camp as well as trying to fight you. That's why sometimes he don't mess with you, because he's trying to put down a demon rebellion in his own camp. Look at y'all. I never thought of that. Yeah. Do you understand? They're not in one mind and one accord. They're not. They've been lied to. See, that's why the devil don't want anybody to be debt free. Do you understand? You know why? Because he done lied to every one of them demons and devils, saying that he owns the earth and you got the title deed to your property. They say, we don't own that piece. And the devil says, shut up. And they start getting angry amongst themselves. I want you to think about this for a minute. You see, you can beat him so bad, he ain't going nowhere. He'll leave you alone. I got to rest myself. Now, he won't give up. He's going to come back. Because, see, he's not a faith devil, he's a flesh devil. You see, when you understand the opportunity of sowing, the Bible says in Mark chapter 4, the sower sowed in verse 4, verse 5, verse 7, and verse 8. You notice he lost verse 4, he lost verse 5, he lost verse 7, but he got 100-fold in verse 8. But you notice it did not bother the sower. The sower is a sower. He gonna sow. You understand? He said he used verse 4. That didn't stop him from sowing in verse 5. Why? Because he's a sower. That didn't stop him. He lost that one. It didn't stop him from sowing in verse 7 because he's a sower. And he got blessed in verse 8 and got everything back in 4, 5, and 7, 100-fold in verse 8. But see, his ability was to sow. People said, Jesse Duplantis is a giver. You know why? My seed has overtaken my life. I am a sower. It makes no difference. Because you see, once I sow, and a lot of ministers don't want you to hear this, but it's true. Once you give into a ministry, then it's their responsibility to keep that soil fertile so your seed will grow. But a lot of guys think, well, they just got it. But no, you got to understand, the responsibility don't stop there. Do you see that? So notice this woman. She received a miracle with three different things. A prophetic word, the willingness to obey, and giving a seed of value. Now you think about it. Would you give your last pancake when your son's starving? I don't think my mama would have. But you see, God did not ask this widow of Zarephath. He commanded her. Because you see, what did he have in mind? 1 year of blessing for this woman for one pancake. Aunt Jemima had done that good since. One pancake took care of her, her son, her house, and Elijah for 1 year. By receiving a prophetic word, she got a financial breakthrough, the willingness to obey it, and giving a significant seed or a seed of value. Now, I want you to turn with me to 2 Samuel. Leave it 2 Samuel. Chapter 24. Yeah, that's it. 2 Samuel 20. Y'all enjoying this? I want to help you, because you see, when I saw that big building going up out there, the Lord said, what did I say? I said, okay, Lord, I understand. That's a wonderful thing. I've never been through the back of this property. Never. I've always come down that road in the front. And because I didn't want to preach this tonight. Because I know some people think, oh, he just want money. I got money. I am not broke. And most preachers will never tell you that. I'm good soil. There's three anointings on my life. The anointing increases on me. It is. It's not my fault. It's on me, man. The anointing of joy is in my life. You hang around me, you can't stay sad. Try it. An anointing of healing is in my life because I hadn't had time to get sick. I've been here 11 times. I've preached here 11. Have you ever saw me sick, Dwayne? Now, you say, well, suppose you got sick. Well, I'll call you to pray for me. That's not the issue. But I'm not believing for it. I'm not saying, you know, I ain't been sick in a long time. Why don't you just put one on me there, devil? Get out of here. I don't want that. I tried health. I like it. Now, 2 Samuel. Here I want to answer this question. How I've never had a deficit in all these years of ministry. It's amazing. But then the Lord showed me something that I had been doing. And I didn't even realize it. Because to me, God is very personal to me. See, I'm not into Christianity. I'm into Christ. See, that's a bad thing. I want a person. I want this. Hello, Jesus. Hi, Jesse. I don't want this. Oh, most gloriously, Heavenly Father God. Are you mad today? I hope you're not mad. No, I want family. I want peace when I go to the throne. I want the peace of God, the peace from God, the peace with God. There's three different avenues of peace there. David, King David, in this chapter does something that angers God. He numbers his men. Because you see, in those days, they figured they had enough. The more soldiers they had and weapons they had, the more powerful they were. And yet, God did not like that because God fought for Israel. I mean, there was a nation called Israel who didn't even have an army, who literally defeated the greatest army of that day, which was Pharaoh's army. And God got very angry about that a plague came upon the people. David saw it and really got really convicted in his heart. And then all of a sudden this prophet named Gad, verse 18 of 2 Samuel chapter 24, I believe it is. Yes, verse 18. And Gad came that day to David and said unto him, go up, rear an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Arunah the Jebusite. And David, according to the saying of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. And Arunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming on toward him. And Arunah went out and bowed himself before the king on his face upon the ground. And Arunah said, wherefore is my lord the king come to his servant? And David said, to buy the threshing floor of thee, to build an altar unto the Lord, that the plague may be stayed from the people. And Arunah said unto David, every minister, every Christian is looking for an Arunah. Let my lord the king take and offer up what seemeth good unto him. Behold, here be oxen for burnt sacrifice and threshing instruments, and other instruments of the oxen for the wood. And all these things did Arunah as a king, notice the next word, give unto the king. And Arunah said unto the king, the Lord thy God accept thee. Everybody's looking for somebody to bless them. There's nothing wrong with that because I believe in receiving. Don't misunderstand me. But everybody wants an Aaron-all. But you see, there are times when it comes time for your giving, when it comes time for you to present something to God. You see what I'm saying? You shouldn't be looking for somebody to meet that need so you can give it to God. Now, let me explain that. Look at the next verse. And the king said unto Aaron, verse 24, no, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord, my God, of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. Ladies and gentlemen, David said, I will not offer God something that does not cost me something. Now, there's a key there. I asked the Lord in 27 years of ministry, never having a deficit, which is a miracle of God. I've never laid off any person in my ministry. I got over 200 something people working for me. I can't remember now how many of them. Never had. Give God the glory for it. My point is this. But you see, I said, Lord, you know, people think I'm arrogant and cocky when I tell them you blessed me. Lord, he said, Jesse, you have never given me something that did not cost you something. And I said, what? He said, everything you've ever done for me was of value to me and to you. And that's true. When I come here, Pastor Duane, I never charge you any expenses. I never give you a fuel bill or a hotel bill or food bill. I don't mean that. There's nothing wrong when you invite a guest, you take care of them. Let me understand. But I'm just saying, I don't do that. Why? Because if this does not cost me something, then this church is not valuable to me. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. And David said, even though the man was nice and I'm saying, yeah, I'm okay. No, no. There are times when you say, no, I am offering this to God and it must cost me something. If it doesn't cost me something, then it's not a value. You see, that's a prophetic word, the willingness to obey, and a significant seed or a seed of value. And everything I've ever done, he said, I want to thank you for doing that. Because you see, I told the Lord when I went out in the ministry that I never wanted to be a burden to a church. I just wanted to be a blessing to it. All I ever want to be is a blessing. I want to be a blessing to my partners who support my ministry. And many of them get, when people bless our ministry, all of it goes in the world evangelism. I'm already taken care of. God has been gracious to me. But I made up my mind, I will not give God something that does not cost me something. And then I saw that God did the same thing. He said, for me to touch the world, I will not touch the world unless it costs me something. And he gave his only begotten son. And out of one person called Christ, he got Christians. A multitude of blessing and harvest. You see, and when you're giving to God, you must offer him something of value. Not just, okay, here. Well, I gave him my tithe. You ain't giving nothing. That's his to start with. You hadn't done nothing if you're just a tither. But yet, because you do that, God said, I'll bless you in ways that you won't be able to contain it. What would you think happened if you gave an offering? Huh? Think about that. Then it dawned on me. I said everything. And let me give you a prime example. 2 years ago, John Hagee called me and said, Jesse, would you go on a cruise? I said, a cruise? You mean a boat? He said, yeah, one of the big ships. I said, John, I ain't got no time to go on a boat. Lord, I'm preaching the gospel. He said, I want you to help me preach this cruise. You and the country western singer, Randy Travis. I said, you want me to go on a boat with you, John, and Randy Travis? He said, yeah, we're going to preach. And did we preach? Lord, I preached 18 times in 6 days. I was working. People were eating, but I was working. Now watch this. My brother-in-law, Ricky, came with me and his wife. That's Kathy's sister. We both of us married sisters there. Now watch this. I love motorcycles. I am a motorcycle man. I enjoy motorcycles. I don't know, they speak in tongues to me. I just like them. I don't know. I just enjoy them. You know what I mean? That's just my thing. I'm not a golfer because it makes you cuss. I ain't gonna lie about it. You gotta repent. You gotta go down there. Lord God, forgive me. But y'all know what I'm looking at men going. It's a tough game. But there's just something about winding your head. This is something. I like motorcycles. Now, I had the prettiest bike in my opinion. I had a 1992 Heritage Softail Harley Davidson classic turquoise and cream motorcycle. Lord Jesus. This motorcycle going to rapture. That's how nice it is. This is a fine bike. I love that motorcycle. And a lot of times I'd be preaching, I'd come back and I'd open up the building where I got and I'd say, how you doing, baby? Daddy home. Daddy home. Gonna be with you in a while. I love that motorcycle. Now, I'm on this cruise preaching. Now, I got other motorcycles beside that. But this one, this is it. This is the one I like. The Lord said, Jesse, I want to talk to you. I said, yeah, Lord. Now, we're out in the middle of the Caribbean. He said, you love that 92 Heritage Softail Harley Davidson Classic, don't you? I said, Lord, I want to thank you for blessing me. I want to thank you for letting me have that motor. I said, it took me a while to find that bike, and you blessed me, and I purchased it, and it's just wonderful. I thank you. He said, Jesse. I said, what, Lord? He said, I want you to give that motorcycle to Ricky. I said, no, Jesus. I said, Ricky don't want that motorcycle. I said, I'll tell you what I'll do, Lord. I'll go down to the Harley Davidson motorcycle plant, and I'll buy him a brand new one. That's 2002. I'll buy him any motorcycle he wants at the Harley Davidson, which is worth more than this 92 Heritage Softail. You know, because this is 10, 12 years old. He said, no, he likes that one. I said, no, he don't. So I told Kathy, I said, Kathy, the Lord been speaking to me about giving my Heritage Softail, my 92 Heritage Softail, turquoise and cream. To Ricky, she said, well, you love that motorcycle. I thought, I know I do. She said, well, let's go buy him a brand new one. Get him in when he wants. I said, you see, Jesus? Now, you see, I had the money to go buy him a brand new one, but it would not have been a seed or a gift of value. Here's what I'm talking about. It would not have been valuable to me, not like that one, which costs less than the brand new one. You see what I'm saying? I said, God. He said, you don't have to do it. I said, okay. He said, but it would bless me if you did. So I called Ricky into my cabin. I said, Ricky. He said, hey, yeah, Jeff. I said, you like my hair that's soft? He said, Jesse, I told Christine, if you ever wanted to sell that bike, we'd mortgage the house, but I'm going to buy that bike. He said, there ain't a motorcycle out there I like better. And that's the finest looking bike. I said, you know it's 12 years old. No, 10 years old. Excuse me, 10 years. I said, you know, he said, yeah, but I tell you, it's just an amazing bike. I said, so you really like it? He said, oh, yeah, I told Christine. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm never on a motorcycle, but that motorcycle, that's something. He said, why? I said, nothing. So I went, preached the service there on the big cruise ship. And I come back. And I said, Lord, if I bought that boy a brand new motorcycle, that would not be as valuable to me. And it would cost me more money if I bought a brand new motorcycle. Okay. I called Ricky back. I said, Ricky. I said, you like that motorcycle? He said, Lord, yeah. He said, you want to sell it? I said, no, but I will give it to you. And I dropped the keys in his hand. He went, glory to God. And I cried, Jesus, Lord, what's up? I was kind of like that widow's Zarephath. As the Lord thy God liveth. It was a value to me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, you might like a certain dress more than other dresses, yet another dress may be more expensive. You know, you might have some, but it's just something about that dress or coat or shotgun, you know, or bow and arrow, you know, just so, you know, something that's of value to you. Even though you could buy another one that'd be more expensive, it's just that one. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about on how to get financial breakthroughs. Gifts of value. Whew. So I gave him the motorcycle. And the Lord said, Jesse, thank you. You have blessed Ricky so much. I said, yeah. And then he said, now I'm going to explain something to you. And this is how I got this message. He said, you know why you've never had a deficit? That I've always met your need, your desire, your want. I said, yeah, Lord. He said, you've always given me thanks and praise. Well, I said, yeah. He said, but let me tell you why. Everything you've ever given me was of value to you. You never just give me to give me because it was an offering. You and Kathy gave me something that was valuable to you. And you received my word not as a promise but as a prophecy. And you had the willingness to obey it. I said, well, thank you, but I just wasn't thinking about that motorcycle. I said, but you know, I said, God, you know when I feel the best? It's not when I receive something, it's when I give something. You kind of get that warmness, for lack of a better way to say it, I guess you could say, you know. He said, I appreciate that. I said, well, thank you, Lord. So I gave it to him. Kathy says, I'll go buy you one. I said, I don't want none. She says, let's go to the store. I'll go buy you brand new. I said, no, because I like that motorcycle. 2 years went by. I didn't buy one. But you see, the Lord keeps the books. Always does. Never forgets. So I go preach in Alabama. I go to the platform like I am here. I've been coming there a lot of times like I've come here. And this pastor says, Brother Jesse, we want to give you a gift tonight. And he hands me a little box about this big. He said, we'd like you to open it up. And I thought, well, what is this? So I said, okay. And the place was full. I opened up. And it was a little motorcycle about that big inside of one of these crystal balls that they got, if you shake like they got snow in it. He said, turn it on. And he goes, and I thought, and it was cute because, you know, I keep a little memorabilia of Harley Davidson and stuff like that. I said, man, thank you. I appreciate that. I thought, I'm going to put that in my bookcase because I got several little, you know, I collect little things like that. He said, it really sounds good. Let me put the microphone on it. He said, go ahead and start it again. It's only about the size of this, you know, this little thing. So I put it on, and I hear this. I said, good Lord. You know, first thing I thought of, my God, that's a sound system in my mind. All of a sudden, this 2004 Road King Classic, 100-year anniversary edition motorcycle, gunmetal blue, Lord Jesus, come driving down the middle of the aisle of church, drove right up there, and he said, Brother Jesse, this is yours. I couldn't talk. I'm still thinking, God, this thing's, no, that's it. That's what's done. And he said, and this little girl must have been, I don't know, 7, 8 years old, come running out, went, and looked at me, and she said, wow, you're blessed. That's what she said. I said, kids, come look, the kids come piling out of the pew. They just wanted to see it, because they fight their mama to go to children's church with Bud Jesse. They say, morning, Bud Jesse. You know, I mean, they get mad at their parents. I couldn't get on. I said, Lord. And all of a sudden, that hit me like that 92 Heritage soft hit. Oh, I thought, God. I said, I could have bought this. He said, I know, but I wanted to be. It was a value to me. And I wanted it to be value to you. I tell you, I just couldn't get over that. He said, oh, Brother Jesse, you know, we got to turn it over in your name. And you got to pay the tax in Louisiana. And here's $2,000 to do that. We don't want this costing you nothing. I'm sitting there going. And then the dealer says, my God, I ain't never seen nobody ever do this. This is a very expensive gift. So the dealer, who's not saved, gave me $800 worth of chrome. More to put on it. I'm telling you, you can comb your hair any way you want on that motorcycle. It's just chrome. I couldn't get over that. I thought, God help Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And it's a 100-year anniversary edition. Gorgeous. I mean, you know, I couldn't get over it. I said, Lord. He said, surprise. So then I take the motorcycle and I go home. And I got to go preach a meeting in Chicago. So I get on the plane. I said, Kathy, why don't you come on with me to Chicago? She said, okay. So we flew to Chicago, and this couple picks us up at the airport to bring us to the church. Watch this. I don't know these people. They know us. We don't know them. They just, hello, they're just bringing us to the church. Midway Airport there in Chicago. It's about 40 minutes away from the church. So we driving. Watch this. And then we stopped at this red light, and this cobalt blue 2004 Corvette pulls up on the side of us. I look and I say, good Lord, God, look how pretty that car is. But it's one of them hard top Corvettes. I said, you know, I've never owned a Corvette in my life. I said, but I tell you what, if I ever did, I'd get one just exactly that color, but I wouldn't want it hard top. I'd like a convertible. I said, that Corvette is beautiful. Now, I never owned one, never wanted one, but when I saw it, it was just a beautiful car. And I said, Kathy, you want a Corvette? We'll go buy a Corvette. She, we all laugh. No, nothing. We all laugh. Nothing took off. I get to the church. It's 41 minutes later. Watch this. As I'm up and ready to walk into the church, one of the ushers said, Brother Jesse, there's a man like to speak to you for me. Would you mind doing that? I said, no, that's fine. So I go out there, and here's this gentleman. He said, Brother Jesse, we just love you. I said, hey, how you doing, man? We hug each other. He said, Brother Jesse, I want to show you something. Walk with me. So we walk out, and there, right in front of me, is a 2004 commemorative edition cobalt blue convertible Corvette. Exact color, except it has it's a convertible instead of hardtop. He said, me and my wife bought this 2 days ago. I said, well, son, this is one beautiful car. Look at this thing. We bought it 2 days ago. And he said, I was driving it to the church tonight to show you. And the Lord said, that's not my car. That's Jesse the Planet's car. He said, so I didn't say nothing. I ain't saying nothing. My wife will kill us. You know, I bought this 2 days ago. It had 150 miles on it. And she leaned over and she said, honey, this is not our car. This car belonged to Jesse the Planet. He said, the Lord just spoke that to me too. So he said, Brother Jesse, here, and gave me the keys. I have a 2004 cobalt blue convertible commemorative edition Corvette. Now, what did you do? Wah! That's what I did. And the Lord said, Jesse, isn't this something? I said, Lord. He said, 40 minutes ago, you was looking at it. 41 minutes later, you got it. So he said, Brother Jesse, you want to drive it home? And one of my tape men, Lewis, was you there? Yeah, Lewis was there. They said, we'll drive it home. I said, no, y'all ain't driving it home. Because they'd have been home in about 20 minutes. You know, what? I mean, it's a beautiful car. So I had a company. He said, no, we'll have a company bring it to you. You know, so we got a moving company, put it on one of the trucks, you know, whatever, and took it to him. I said, God. He said, you gave me a gift of value. Everything you've ever done has been of value. I said, but Lord. I said, why did you do that? He said, I heard you talk about it in the car. I said, yeah, but I was just saying it. I wasn't going to buy it. I just, yep, it's a beautiful car. He said, well, enjoy. I said, what else you got up your sleeve? Now, I'm using that. I don't think I would have ever received those things if I had not given God something that was valuable to me. It wasn't just giving to get it. You understand? It was giving out of every man according as he purposed in the heart. It was a heart gift. You understand what I'm saying? It was coming from the heart. Lord, I just want to bless you. I remember when our first church started building a sanctuary, we didn't have a lot of money in those days at all. And we'd go out and eat once a week if we could. And I said, Kathy, let's give our once a week outing meal to the building fund. And we did for 3 years. I'm serious. I'm not telling you to do that. Because then I could, that may not be a value to you. Then you go out and eat. But that was value to us. Not just the money, just that we enjoyed that. And we did. And I never seen that statement before. Greater sacrifice, greater impact. That went off of me like a shotgun when I looked up and saw that. Because you see, when you do that, that's value. You see, it's not just saying, hey, I got a bunch of money and here's some. And you don't have to give all you got. Now, God may require somebody to do that. He's never required that of me. Thank God. Hallelujah. Like, I mean, I don't want to give my house away. But I mean, you know, if he told me to do it, I ain't going to hell over a house. I prefer to keep my house. Don't misunderstand me, you know. And there's nothing wrong with that. But when I present myself before the Lord, I always give him something of value. And I received the prophetic word. Because Pastor said earlier in the tithing message that he didn't know about receiving. He just thought them $30, bye-bye, that's the end of that. Now look what you have today. Look what's happening. God said, tell them, and I want you to listen to me when I say this. to yield to the anointing of wealth. Let me say it again. Yield to the anointing of wealth. Because you see, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. You'll never get it. You cannot receive what you speak against. And you people, what y'all doing for Jesus, you'll touch Granville, Grand Rapids, and it won't hurt any other church. But you can't do that and build those kind of buildings you're building unless you yield to the anointing of wealth. Because once you do, then every time you do something, God will be of value to you. And then all of a sudden, you're doing not only for the church, but for your own self. You'll be able to pay off your grandma's house, your children's house, whatever. You know, whatever you want to do. You might want to be a player. You might want to pay a whole year budget for a missionary. Well, you can't do it if you don't have it. But if you yield to the anointing of wealth, it'll come to pass. Well, I don't want to get greedy. Are you greedy now? No. What makes you think you're going to get greedy? Why don't you trust the God that trusts you? Are you seeing that? You know, you can't get saved until you yield to the anointing of salvation. You can't get healed till you yield to the anointing of healing. You can't get blessed till you yield to the anointing of wealth. But we've been told for 2,000 years that wealth is bad and the wealth of the sinner laid up for the just. And God trying to put it in your hands, but 2,000 years of erroneous teaching has stopped people and put people in debt. And they're all excited, bless God, when they get a house. But you know what? A house is not finished when you occupy it, or a church is not finished when you occupy it. A church is finished when you pay for it. It's not when you that project's not finished when you occupy it. It's finished when it's paid off. So then it's no longer a burden in any way, shape, or form. And you think God would spend 30 years of interest? He's a Jewish God. He ain't going to do that. God don't pay that kind of interest rate. He don't pay retail, neither does Jesse. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I felt so strong to preach this tonight. Because Bill and Pastor Dwayne ain't told me one thing. We ain't talked about that building. We ain't said, am I telling the truth? God, I mean that. He never said we're just talking about it. No, when I'm saying it, when I see that, I want. Now that is a gift of value. That takes dedication, commitment, and discipline. God, that's a cheerful giver. You know what a cheerful giver is? A voluntary giver. They aren't required. They just do it. Because they got love for God. I really believe the partners to my ministry, they give them my ministry, they bless, because they're cheerful. We don't ever send them a crisis letter. You understand what I'm saying? And they go, I want to be a blessing to someone somewhere. But you see, it cannot happen unless there's trust. I told John Hagin, I close with this. I said, John, the greatest gift anyone can give you is not money. It's trust. Buddy, when someone gives you their trust, they gave you their best. I said, never break it. Never break that trust. Never. Because it's the most valuable gift given to anyone. You know, you can't worship a God you can't trust. But if there's trust there, then God will do the impossible every time. Remember this. Get a prophetic word. Look in that Bible. It's all prophetic for you. It's wrote for you. Number two, be willing to obey. And number three, when you go before the Lord with something, give him a gift of value. And let me say this again. Don't let nobody tell you what's valuable to you. Only you know that. See, people would have thought if I'd have bought Ricky a brand new motorcycle, that would have been more valuable to me. And I had the money to do it. But it wouldn't have been, brother. It was that 92. And he still got it. And I went and saw it the other day at his house. I said, you enjoying that motor? He said, Jesse, you don't know what you've done. I said, oh, no, Ricky, I know what I've done. I know what I've done. He said, buddy, that car, I couldn't get over. They couldn't get over that car. I said, God. He said, I ain't finished yet. I said, well, what? I told the brothers coming over in the car, I really don't require anything. I'm at the point in my life, God's been good to me. I don't know. I want the world saved, ladies and gentlemen. I want the world saved. and I'll do whatever I can. I've invested over $100 million in the gospel. I told you I'm not broke, but I have. But the Lord told me this the other day while I was exercising. He said, "Hey, Jesse, I know that voice." I said, "Hey, Lord. Hey, what?" He said, "What would you do if I give you $1 billion? I said, "Lord God, I'd cut a check for $100 million. That's my tithe. I cut a check for another $100 million. That's my offering. I still got $800 million I didn't have before." He said, "That's what I love about you. You're thinking about what you're going to give to me instead of what you can receive from me. And because you do, you will always receive." Now, I'm not bragging on myself. Where did you get that? I don't know. It just was birthed in me. I don't know. Nobody ever taught it. But I've never offered something to God that didn't cost me something. A gift of value. Stand to your feet. Now, we're going to ask you tonight to receive the greatest gift of value ever given to anyone. And his name is Jesus. And I mean that. And I want everyone to listen to me. Ooh, this is normally not a sermon I would preach. I would do an offering teaching and then go on about that. But I want to tell you something. It's time for all of us to receive what rightfully belongs to us. All I ever wanted in my life was rightfully belongs to me. The wealth of the sinner has got to come to you people so you can complete your destiny and reach your destination. It's not a money message. It's a completion, spiritually, physically, financially. I told that to Benny Hinn last week. I was with him. I said, "There will come a time, Benny, you will call for the sick and none will be present. They will all be healed." There's a time for that. I believe that. I'll tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the day that every church in a city comes together and puts on a meeting and don't fight over the sheep and the lambs that are born. There is coming a time for that. That we'll put our doctrinal differences aside. And we will say, "We came to preach this gospel to a sin-sick world. The world is full of iniquity. It's terrible today. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come." I've been praying, Lord. I'm believing God for some big things. But what I want Him to do more than anything is just come. You know, I want to ask you two questions tonight, and I want you to listen to me. Maybe, were you like me growing up in church? You know, I went to church a lot. I did. Mama made me go to church. My grandma's drug me to church. I hated it. I hated it. They would drag me to church. "You little heathen, you're going to church." They're both of them, all three of them in heaven, both grandmothers and my mom. I knew a lot about God, but I did not know God. If God would have walked through the door of our church, I'd have said, "Wonder where he's from. I thought he's a visitor, Pastor. God is my witness." I knew a lot about God. They taught me that. But I did not know God. You see, the Pharisee knew a lot about God. But they did not know God. The nation of Israel knew a lot about God. But when God came in front of them, they did not know him. Is that you today? Maybe you Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, Church of God, Church of Christ, Word of Faith, Full Gospel, whatever. You may have went to church a lot. You may know a lot about God. But I ask you, do you know God? That's a powerful question. Do you actually know the Lord? Now, I used to stop right there because that's how I was trained as a minister of the gospel. Until the Lord arrested my mind and said, "Take it further." Maybe you're in this building tonight. No. You're not backslidden to hell by no means. But you're not living the way you should live. And you need to come back to God. Some people call it rededicate. That's a good word. But there's something better than that. It's called selling out. Think about that. Coming back and say, "Lord, I've had some tough times. But tough times don't last. Tough people do. I don't want you to misunderstand. I've had the devil fight me a lot. But I never fight him. I walk on him. There's no other choice in the matter. I'm not in competition with anyone. I'm in cooperation. I'm amazed at what you people have done here. I've seen it. I've been here many times to watch the growth, to see what happens. It's wonderful. I go home and I rejoice. Pastor, a couple of years ago, took me through the youth and the children. I rejoiced in that. I thought, God, I thought I had that when I was a child. Maybe I knew you instead of know about you. you know, that blessed me. I'm a man that appreciates when people do good things for God because they're valued. So I'm going to ask you to bow your heads. Let me ask you the question again. Do you know God or would you like to know God? Do you know about God or would you like to know God? See, to know God means getting saved for the first time. So I want you to think about it. You know a lot about God, but do you know God? Or be honest with yourself. You're not where you should be with God and you need to come back to Him to draw closer to Him. So that's the two questions. If you'd like to know God, which means getting saved for the first time instead of knowing about Him, or, and be honest with yourself, you're not where you should be and you need to come back to God. Would you lift your hand up? Hold your hand up when I see and acknowledge it. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands. There may be hands in the overflow room. Yes, I see those hands. Yes. Could I see others quickly? Thank you. I see your hand. Could I see all the way to the back? Yes, way back there. I see your hand. You may put your hand down. Yes, I see your hand. That hand means one of two things. But yes, I need to know God, which means getting saved for the first time instead of just knowing about Him. Or that lifted hand is saying, I've got to be honest. I am not where I should be and I need to come back to Him. I need to draw closer. Could I see another hand quickly? Don't miss my Jesus. Thank you. I see those hands. Yes, I see those hands all over. You that are in the overflow room, I'm looking at a camera. You're looking at a screen. But God looks at us both personally. If that's you, we thank you for lifting your hand. I want everyone to look at me. Ladies and gentlemen, I would never lie to you people. I've had so many people lie to me. Even my own family. Lord. Some of my biggest battles have been my family. Oh. Everything I've ever touched prospered and it's caused jealousy. I'll just tell you something. It caused jealousy in my family. I got two brothers and a sister. Ooh, Lord Jesus. My brother, my oldest brother told me, he said, you fall in the outhouse, you come out smelling like a rose. But I remember when I was a little heathen. And I didn't remember it till the Lord told me. Every time you have given to me, you gave me a gift of value. I had $4. My daddy asked me one time, what do you want for Christmas, Jesse? I said, a lawnmower. He said, a lawnmower? I said, 8 years old. I said, I want a lawnmower, Dad. He said, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to cut grass. So he got me a lawnmower. I always had money in my pocket. I worked. And I remember I used to cut a yard for 50 cents, 25 cents, a big yard. A kid today would say, you crazy. I need a John Deere to do that. Kids won't do that today. And I had $4, and I remember the pastor received an offering. And I gave the $4. And my mama liked it. She said, you don't need to give that boy. I said, well, mom, you know, I guess, you know, it's got to go to God. But even as a small child, I did not offer him something that didn't cost me a lot of work and sweat. Many of you lifted your hand. Many of you. And I've still got that problem. Everything I touch prospers. And it's not easy sometimes. Prosperity is not necessarily a pleasant thing, but it is a God thing. Sometimes it isn't pleasant because people attack you. But that's okay. We're getting people saved. Many of you lifted your hand. That took some integrity. You thought about it for a minute, then you went, that's me. I'm going to ask you to do something harder than this. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand, not some of you, because you are a person of integrity. I'm going to ask every one of you that lifted your hand to get out of your seat and come stand here in front of everybody. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? Get out of your seat. Hear the overflow room? I want you to come over. If you're in the overflow room, come over. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Oh, glory. Hey. Hallelujah, Lord. If you're in the overflow room, get out of your seat and come here. Come in the main. If you lifted your hand. Come on, give them a hand clap as they come. Isn't that good? Good. I don't want nobody leaving. We want to pray with these people. This is a great gift. Still people. Look at people. They're still coming. Come on, give them a hand clap. Thank you for coming. What a blessing of the Lord. I want to pray a prayer with you. It's a very simple prayer. It's not a prayer of feeling, even though you may feel something or you may not. But it is a prayer of faith. When we finish this prayer, you'll be in God's kingdom. Whether it's a first time salvation of knowing God instead of knowing about Him. Or a rededication, a selling out of drawing closer to God. I love people when they give their life in rededication back to the Lord. Because you see, God didn't lose. And you pick up exactly where you left off. Are you ready to pray? I'm going to ask everybody in the audience to pray this prayer. You that are watching by television today, how can I forget you? The unseen audience, which through the wonderful ministry of Dr. Billy Graham that I came to the knowledge of Jesus, watching a television show just as you're watching this one. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer. There will be some information that will come up on our screen. If you write us, we'll send you some wonderful liturgies and things just like these people here coming forward to give their life to God. There's a good church somewhere in your city. You ought to go there. And if you don't know where to go, write our ministry. We can help you. I've preached in every state in the United States, all over the world. I know somebody that will receive you. I do. Oh, Lord Jesus, many times. I want you to pray this prayer with us too. Let's all pray it together. Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life and forgive me of all my sins. I confess my sin before you this day. I denounce Satan and all his works. I confess Jesus as the Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me, for bringing me back to where I once was. I believe with my heart, I confess with my mouth that Jesus rose from the dead. I am saved. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And today is my God day with the Lord Jesus. I pray this prayer to the Father in the name of Jesus. Amen. Stand right there. Give him a hand clap. You made it. You made it. That's a pretty easy one.